The Source of Blessings, Ezekiel 47:1-12. Let us turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1-12. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh, so where the river flows everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From Enjedi to Eniglaim there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh, they will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. At times, even in the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord used to go, there were storms when it was not the stormy season. In the same way, as we live our lives, there are good times but also bad times. At times, we get illness, we experience failure, we face obstacles and we fall into despair." The word today talks about the Israelites. They were exhausted as they lived their lives as captives of Babylon. There was no hope for tomorrow, and the people were hopeless. In this kind of circumstances, God showed a vision through Ezekiel. He saw the house of God in Jerusalem and saw a vision of water coming out from underneath the gate of the house of God. Water that flowed from underneath the gate of the house of God got deeper, and later it overflowed the banks of the river. But there were many trees on the right, left sides of the banks of the river that were so dry, withered away, that these were almost dying. This was what the people of Israel were like at the time, hopeless and in despair. But Ezekiel saw in a vision that from the time that water coming from the house of God touches the trees began to live again, bore the fruit, and wherever the water flowed, all sorts of fish were there and fishermen came to catch these fish. God gave hope to the Israelites through Ezekiel and showed them a vision of restoration, and the source of restoration was the house of God. The house of God was the source of saving life. Let's read verse 1. Ezekiel had a vision of life-giving waters flowing from under the gate of the house of God. The center of the life of the Israelites was the house of God only. When they built a house, they made the door facing the house of God, whether the house was situated on east, west, south or north side. When rabbis get on the plane, they look at the compass and facing their synagogues, they pray. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10 as well, Daniel opened the window towards the house of God in Jerusalem, prayed 3 times a day. He even faced a hard time as he was put in a lion's den. But this became an opportunity for him to be recognized by the king. Jacob as well, when he met God at Bethel, he made a confession that he would build a house of God. Why did the Israelites regard the house of God this importantly? It is because they believed that the master of the house of God is God. The life centered on the house of God means the life centered on God. Believers need to have three kinds of houses of God. Firstly, the heart is the house of God. Let us read the 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "There is God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit in our hearts." When the heart becomes a house of God, there is peace and the true rest. On the contrary, when the house of God collapses in the heart, you feel anxiety and fear. Life becomes devastated. In the Bible, Saul was like that and Judas was like that. The house of God in our hearts needs to be clean at all times, so that God the Trinity would dwell in the house of God. The Spirit of God does not dwell in the filthy mind and spirit. If it is dirty, he would get rid of it. He burned down the city of Sodom, which was filthy with sin, and wiped out the days of Noah with water. If it is filthy, God would abandon people, society and the nation as well. Every single day, we need to cleanse our house of God in our hearts by the blood of Jesus. Also, there is another house of God in the heaven. Let us read Revelations chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no death, no mourning, no outcry, no pain anymore. The things of the first have all passed away. This is the heavenly sanctuary. There would be no more tears, no pain and no death again. This is the heaven where we would dwell together with the Lord forever. Also, there is a tangible house of God. In Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "I will build my church on this rock and the powers of Hades will not overcome it." It says, "The house of God is the body the Lord has built. And the Lord protects them so that the power of Hades does not win." Believers live in the tangible house of God and go to the house of God in heaven. We have God in our hearts, and until we go to heaven, we get the word of God from the tangible house of God, we get nurtured, get cared for, we share the love, make disciples, and we become the ark that saves the souls. We must live a church-centered life. Church-centered worship must be restored. Until the believers get to the house of God in heaven, the house of God on this earth is very important. These days, people say that they listen to the sermon at the fishing sites, and as they listen to the sermon when they are on holidays, they say that they had a worship service. Also, some people claim that they believe in the idea that it is okay not to have a tangible church building. It is wrong. The Lord also came back to the house of God in Jerusalem before he carried the cross for the last time. The model of church in heaven is the church on earth. Including the early church, seven churches appear in the book of Revelations. This means that the church on earth is so important. We worship God, pray and praise him, we learn, get trained and save souls in the church on earth. The church on earth needs to serve the life-saving role well, like the Noah's Ark. So, God showed a vision to Ezekiel that the source of blessings began from the house of God. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you will live your life centered on church as well. The water that flowed from the house of God needs to overflow. Let us look at verses 4 to 5. God waits till the water overflows. There is a critical point that God wants. Water never boils at 99 degrees high. Water starts to boil at 100 degrees high only. It is the critical point. Water flowed from the house of God and God told Ezekiel to get in. He took his clothes off, water filled up to his ankles, his knees, waist, but after he measured it, he said it was not enough. God told him to measure the depth again until the water overflows. God measures the faith as well. Let us look at verse 4. There is a volume he wants. There is a standard he wants. When it comes to prayer as well, there is a critical point in prayer. Paul said that when he reached over the critical point of prayer, he saw the 3,000 layers. When people prayed, the prison doors were opened, chains were broken. When Elisha prayed, his spiritual eyes were opened. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you would reach over the critical point of prayer that God wants. Faith also has a critical point. Look at the Canaanite woman. The Lord did not show any interest when people brought a mentally ill child to the Lord and asked him to heal him. When disciples asked him, he told them that he came here for Israel. He even treated them like dogs. Nevertheless, the Canaanite woman did not give up and said, "Lord, dogs get to live by eating the crumbs that fall from the master's table." At that time the Lord said, "Your faith is great. Your faith saved you," and he healed the child. We need to know that the Lord measures our faith. There is a critical point for loyalty. When we exceed the critical point God wants, he rewards us according to work we did. I hope your faith would be the faith that prepares for the reward that you would receive on the day that you stand before the Lord. From the time the water flowed over from the gateway of the house of God, living things came to life. There were countless fish and they produced beautiful fruit. Let us have a look at verse 8. This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Arabah means a desolate land. When the water that flowed from the house of God flowed into this desolate land, it came to life. When the water of life overflows, hearts and souls get to live again. When it flows into the families, families would come to life. If it flows to church, church would come to life. If it flows to our people would come to life. In this desolate time, I bless you all in the name of Jesus that this water that flows from the church would help save all lives and this life-saving work of God would take place. It is a blessing that takes place when the water overflows. Let us read verses 9 to 12. The living things came to life. Verse 9 says, "Wherever this water from the river reached, all the living things came to life again. There were many fish, and wherever this water from the river flowed through, the water of the sea came to life again and everything that lived in it came to life. Wherever this water from the house of God touched, living creatures came to life, water of the sea came to life and there were so many fish. When the overflowing water touched the roots, the work of coming to life took place. So many fishermen came as well, as in verse 10. Fishermen started to gather around this riverside and so many fish also were drawn here. It says there were so many fish. As there were so many fish, fishermen continued to come. Likewise, if you are successful, people would gather around you. There would be many people that greet and look for you. However, if you have a failure, everything would leave. Friends would leave, neighbors would leave and even siblings would leave you. This is the world we live in. World is somewhat cold. It is relative. But our Lord is with you always without any change whether you had failures or whether you had illnesses. So, walk together with the Lord. This is what the person who has the true success is like. As Christians, looking for a good workplace is not the best thing. As you enter into that workplace needs to become a good workplace. As Christians, we should not look for a land of blessing and wander around, but because of us, that land needs to become the land of blessing. Because of Joseph, people of Egypt even were blessed. Because of Abraham, other people also were blessed. Verse 12 says, "All sorts of fruit were produced. The leaves did not wither, and new fruit was produced every month. Even the leaves were used as ingredients for medicine. This is a confession that even the leaves that were once regarded as useless parts were also used as the ingredients for medicine. So likewise, hardships, failures we faced in the old days became a benefit to us like these ingredients for medicine. Where did all these blessings come from? In the mid part of verse 12 says, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the source of blessings that saved life was the church, as in the vision that Ezekiel saw. All the blessings began with the church. Let us live our lives centered on church. The owner of the church is God. God is the source of blessings. The life that is centered on church is God-centered life. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you will place God as the cornerstone of your life so that you could set the directions, and that God would be the plumb line so that you will set the standard according to it. I pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.